not long. But, you know, my kids started traveling when they were pretty young to go and meet Lauren and myself somewhere. And again, back in the Ancient of Days where there was no cell phones. So I would send with them a yellow piece of paper with everything that I could think about. If nobody's there to meet you at the plane, this is the phone number, and this is what to do. And I would always try to think about all of that because I wanted them to have a successful journey. I wanted them not to be afraid, and I wanted them to feel confident. So I tried to help them think about everything. So just in this last time, I'm going to give you my yellow piece of paper for you. How I talk to you about what's God in you, what you have in your hand. I've talked to you about hearing God's voice and listening, obeying, and not quitting. So I want to talk to you now about how not to lose your zeal or your joy in doing all of that, all right? We'll just take a few points. First of all, guys, remind yourself continually, you haven't been appointed by YWAM. You haven't been appointed by somebody else. You're appointed by God. And that's why, even like when you're considering your outreaches, no doubt within your school framework, whatever week you're in, it's put before you, let us pray together about this. Your team members, your staff, they don't bring before you a country just because they chose it out of the hat. Or they thought, oh, I've never been to Vanuatu. I think I'd like to go to Vanuatu. Let's take a team. No, it's become from you to you with real conviction. So when you go into that situation, you can't think, oh, well, those guys should never have sent us. No, God, you spoke that this is the place where I should be. Therefore, I can expect if I follow you that I've been appointed by God to be here, and I'm going to walk in that authority. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I appointed you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that remains. John 8:42, Jesus speaking, I didn't come for myself. I came from God who sent me. And you and I should walk in like manner, that God, we are aware that God gave us the appointment and that we are doing that. So always look back to, why am I here? Why can I point to that place? Does my action reflect that I really believe in a God who speaks? And therefore, if I do, then I can have the authority to do this. Lauren and I have practiced this for a long time, guys. And when we pray together, both of us get invitations to speak all over the place. And we pray together over those invitations so that we can be sure that we are supposed to be where we're going. Therefore, we're not all worried about a whole bunch of stuff. Or if Lauren's gone and I'm back at the university and things come up in which there's a lot of responsibility for me because he's not there, I can't say, oh, Cunningham should be here to help me out on this. I should never have been left on my own. No. We prayed. God said he should go. I should stay. Thank you, God, for the appointing, for the anointing. Thank you for making me so much smarter than I already am, because I really need that. And there's a confidence in that. And you're not whining about things that, because you prayed and you have a confidence that the Lord has spoken. Walk in a lifestyle of thankfulness and generosity. I showed you briefly a picture of my cute little mom, 99 and a half years old. And if you would have said to her, what is the secret to your life? She would have said to you, the joy of the Lord is my strength. She lived it, friends. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And friends, that is what we can be confident in if we walk in the joy of the Lord and we are a generous, thankful people. Gratitude and faith go hand in hand. Grumbling and complaining lead to unbelief. Now, today I taught earlier on this belief tree, trying to give you the tools on how to make wise decisions. And I want to tell you that there is no creativity, no problem-solving ability in a negative mind that complains all the time. You don't ever see how the answer could come because you're busy seeing what can't be done. You're busy complaining about your circumstances, and there literally is not creativity space in a mind that's continually consumed with complaining. So gratitude and faith go hand in hand. Grumbling and complaining lead to unbelief. You need to be a generous person. Generous with your finances, generous with your resource, generous with your gratitude, generous with your praise to other people, generous in looking for the positive. And sometimes people say to me, oh, Darlene, you're just such a Pollyanna. You're just a person that always sees the positive. I can see both sides, friends. But I never have been quite able to understand why people think when they're giving me a true report about something or somebody, that the negatives are the true report. There are positives too. But, I'm just truthful about this. But if you're going to be truly truthful, you got to tell me the positive things about that person too. It's just as true as the negative. Are you with me? And we have to be people that are always looking to be joy-filled and positive. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we aren't realists. We can recognize when there's a problem, but we know the one that can help us figure it out. We can tell God, I'm scared to death. I don't know what to do. But I know the one that does. But your whole attitude of generosity and thankfulness lead then to faith. Number three, be God loyal. There never has been anything wrong with God, and there never will be. Period, amen. That's it. So when you wake up in the morning and it's not the best day of your entire life, you say, God, I know you're in charge. I can trust you with this. There's horrible disaster around, and we're looking for God in it, and we always come back to his wonderful character. I have friends in Switzerland, Dr. Mariana, and they work in disaster relief. And so, like some years ago in Rwanda, when there was total civil war, there weren't even enough people left to bury the dead in some villages. It was just awful. And I said to her, how do you handle the preparation for the doctors that are going out with you and the healthcare workers? How do they live with this kind of disaster? She said, Darlene, if you don't have hold of the character of God in the midst of crisis and know that God's in charge and ultimately will prove himself faithful in every aspect of it, she said, it's impossible to do. And so we continually remind ourselves we are loyal to God and to his character. I'll save the rest for tomorrow on that. True leadership demands humility. Remember we talked about the fact that God's given you the gifts that you have and the gifts that you do not have are a part of his plan. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how multi-talented you are. You don't have it all. You still need other people. I mentioned to you that I do a lot of leadership development and training, and I say to our leaders all of the time, nothing will wear you out so much as trying to be in control of everything and always right. That's a very taxing job for a leader. None of us can do it all. Josh is laughing awfully loud, isn't he? Jesus, the Son of God, John 5:19. Jesus said he could do nothing by himself. You and I must realize the same. We don't have to always try to be right, friends. It's so much easier to live with the fact that others can be right too. There's space for them. We have to try to control everything. I mentioned earlier about Romans 12. And this is such a good Bible study for you on this whole thing with your giftings. Romans 12, 13, 14, 15, all of that. Remember I mentioned that it says, look at yourself with sober judgment. In other words, you're not all that in a bag of chips thrown in with it. None of us have it all. It says, look at yourself with sober judgment. Be renewed in your mind. And when you're renewed in your mind, you have an understanding of God's view of people and how important each and every individual is. It says, look at yourself with sober judgment. Be renewed in your mind. And then it talks about the various kinds of gifts. And then as it goes on in the scripture, the next chapter talks about love. It all's tied together with love. We really need each other. And we really, really can give so much encouragement to one another. I am a real people watcher, okay? So, and I spent a lot of time in the international part of airports. So I sort of study people while I'm sitting there. And you look and you see the family resemblance and you think, oh, that's the grandpa and the grandma and the siblings and so on. They all kind of have that hook nose and walk a little the same. And, you know, I just do all that kind of thing. And then there's other times you're standing in line to get something to do with your ticket and all. And I watch the different people at the counters. And the person that has we're all tired. Our plane's been delayed and all the rest of it. And so you watch people come up, and when somebody is really grumpy, you're already tired and worn out anyway, and somebody's really grumpy, you watch people come up and walk away from them looking like this. And then you watch the clerk that says, how can I help you? I know this is a pain. What can I do to help? And I watch the countenance of people when they walk away. It looks so different than when somebody's been very difficult to them once again getting on the plane. So we are supposed to give. Our words are supposed to be like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Our words are to be sweet like honey to one another. And we are to be people that are positively encouraging people. Everybody's got somebody putting them down. Let's not add that to ours, okay? Let's be people. And it gives energy to people. And when we need to talk about something difficult, we are able to do it in the proper way. Now, this is my main point. I've been around a long time, okay? I've lived literally with thousands of YWAMers, all right? I literally have lived with thousands of YWAMers. So I know YWAMers really well, all right? I've traveled all over the world. I've been with people all over the world. And this is my conclusion, is that the enemy's strategy to hold back the kingdom of God, to keep things from moving forward, is for you and I to take offense with one another. When we get offended, no longer is our fellowship sweet. No longer are we moving in that creativity and mind and creating with God. We're complaining and complaining amongst ourselves. And this taking up offense, friends, is a real problem. And I think it's a true attack of the enemy. How many of us have been involved in wonderful, vital churches that are just doing great outreach and doing wonderful things in the city that they're placed in, and they have within their eldership, they begin to fight with one another. And then bad things happen in the church, and the church splits. And the enemy goes, ha, 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 I won, I won. Now, we are going to have miscommunications. We are going to have things that can offend us each other. It is the nature of life. Let's say you grew up in a home with a loving mother and father, and there are 5 siblings in the family. You all speak the same language. You've all been loved every day of your life. Do those 5 siblings ever fight and have misunderstandings? Yes. Look at our family. A lot of people are speaking in their second or third language. We have all kinds of different backgrounds. Are we going to have misunderstandings with one another? Of course we will. But forgiveness is never the issue. A wonderful man of God by the name of Dr. Atef made a comment, I think probably I heard this about 2 years ago. He said, if Jesus is in me, and Jesus is in you, and I get offended, what part of Jesus just got offended? You know, when I look at that, I don't find any Jesus. I just find Darlene. And usually you know what it has to do with? Some kind of right that I didn't want to give up. Maybe feeling like I got left out. I should have been included. I should have had some kind of credit for that. Now, I told you I've lived with thousands of YWAMers. I don't think I ever have met somebody that when they woke up in the morning, they thought, how can I irritate Darlene today? What can I do to make her life miserable? Do people irritate me? Yes, they do. There was a guy, his name was Jim, that was a part of our school and then staffing and so on, who had absolutely no people skills. If I walked by the kitchen and I heard a whole bunch of dishes breaking, I knew it would be Jim. I could be teaching, and this actually happened, I can be teaching in a place like this, and let's say right up where that screen is a clock. The clock didn't have the right time, and he would come while I'm speaking, get the ladder, and fix the clock. And just continually, I mean, wherever there was disaster, there was Jim. And then he would say really stupid stuff. So one day he's at our place, and he and Lauren are talking. You can be sure it would be Lauren and not me because of my attitude. And Lauren was asking him about his childhood. He had been tied up like a dog in a closet. He had been abused. He had had the worst childhood you could ever imagine. He was nothing, you guys, but a wonderful trophy of Jesus that he's walking around sane. And I'm worried about his people skills. And I'm over in the corner, and, oh, Jesus, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. We do hurt each other, and some of us irritate each other. And when you're on outreach and you're really tired and you've been in that same room with that person and now you're beside them in the van and it's a really long trip, but we don't from our hearts want to irritate each other. We do, but it isn't in our heart to hurt one another. And so when I heard this from Dr. Atef, I got to thinking about so much. And you already know I have this passion for Jesus in you and the way you're gifted. God's put within me such a passion to see those gifts released. But if I really believe that the Holy Spirit is in you, and that you too have a relationship with Jesus, then I better treat you with a little more respect. Jesus is in you. Do we treat each other like that? That Jesus is within them. And friends, let me get this really clear to you. With us, forgiveness should never, ever be an issue. If you never ask me to forgive you, you are forgiven. That's not the issue. We have some communication things to sort out. But forgiveness isn't going to get in the way. I have a little speech I give to everybody that comes and works close with me. And I say it like this. I am not a threatened leader. You may ask me anything. If I ask you to do something and you don't understand it, I want to be able to explain so that you can tell others how to do it. And if I can't give you a good explanation, I need your question. Don't fail me. I'm about to do something stupid. Feel free to ask me questions. And friends, we must make a place for understanding with one another. And we must do things God's way. But this picking up offense, and I really believe the enemy goes on whispering campaigns. Did you see that they didn't include you? How come they got all the honor and you didn't? Or they shouldn't have said it that way. That shows a lack of respect for you. Why aren't they more honoring? And then you start absorbing that and start believing it. And then the next thing you do is you start building the case in your mind. And now you are consumed with offense. And where is there room for Jesus in the midst of that, huh? Where does the joy of the Lord come out in that? You become grumpy. And you do not have creativity to problem solve. Are you with me? And the enemy goes, yay, got it. They believed it. The team just fell apart. So when you're working together in team, this is for couples and families and any kind of working group, you make this decision to respect Jesus in each other. Have enormous respect for Jesus in you and Jesus in your friends. Expect as you bring down the Holy Spirit within your relationship that Jesus is going to help us hear one another. And you choose when you get offended, and we do have miscommunications, friends. So many times it comes just because we were moving too quickly. And people said, you just deliberately left me out. No, I didn't deliberately leave you out. I was in a hurry, and I just didn't think it through. I am so sorry. There was no thought process there at all. I was just trying to get the job done. But you see, we build these barriers before each other. And where the Bible says we're committed to one another, where there's unity, there's a blessing. And we want to walk in that blessing, friends. So as you begin to start in your head, just say, stop it. That is not edifying. Thank you, Lord, that's my brother. Thank you, Lord, that's my sister. Thank you that you are in that person. Thank you that forgiveness is not part of the issue. Thank you for giving us the wise time to be able to sort this out. Now, the reason we don't get things right with each other, friends, is most of the time it's because we don't know how to do it. And we know when somebody's brought something to us, it hasn't been fruitful, it's been hurtful. So probably of this group, I've known Sam the longest, okay? So Sam and I have been hanging out for quite a few years. And I feel like things are not quite right in our relationship. It's just not quite the same between us as it used to be. And I start thinking about that. And then every time I see Sam, I find a reason why, yeah, that's right, he doesn't like me anymore. I don't know what's happened, but there's something wrong here. So because we've been around together for a while, finally I decide I got to say something about this. So I walk up to Sam and I say, Sam, I think you're really mad at me. And Sam thinks, I wasn't before, but I am now. Because I didn't let my mouth teach, my heart teach my mouth how to speak. But how different it would be if I came up to Sam and said, Sam, we've been friends for a long time. I feel like there's a bit of distance between us. Have I done something foolish that's hurtful to you? Is there something we need to talk about? He may say, no, I've had a migraine for 2 weeks. And there isn't anything. Or yes, there is. And this is what it is. But we make things right with one another, friends. So I'm not trying about being vanilla. We should have different opinions. That's what goes with having different giftings. We should be able to push back on each other and say, no, I don't agree with that. And this is why, with total respect. And I don't take that personally. It's good you have a different opinion. That's how we're going to learn and do a better job. And we create that environment. But could you commit to be people that extend forgiveness, that bless the people that you work with, that always looks to respect Jesus in one another? And when you start picking up an offense, could you ask the Lord to help you by having this thought go in my mind, in your mind? I'm cooperating with the enemy. It's the enemy's design to try to divide people, and I'm cooperating with that. I'm not cooperating with that. I'm just not going to cooperate with that. Satan, I just come against you, and all you're trying to feed me, and that's my brother, that's my sister. We see things very differently. I really don't understand why this happened, but I refuse to be offended, and I'm going to love this person, and we're going to get it sorted out, and we're going to be stronger for it. And I'll wait to God's timing for that, but there's no offense in my heart. And I believe then, friends, we can be effective. And people will see in us something of the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. Something that is so life-giving. And you will be people that keep your joy. Nothing robs your joy like you allowing yourself to get offended. Okay? And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. So you've learned today how to make really wise decisions. If you're called to be on to be a prime minister, you're going to know how to do it. If you're called to be the team leader, you're going to know how to do it. And you're going to be people that spread the joy of the Lord, who is truly your strength, as you treat each other with enormous respect. Because Jesus is in each one of you. Amen? Amen. That's it. You've been great.
Awesome. Thanks, Darlene.